Off the Ball Rugby.
Each time Scotland scored a seven-pointer, Ireland responded in an average time span of 5 minutes with 7 points to the row.
Oh, yeah.
3 minutes, 5 minutes and 7 minutes were the tries that came in response to that.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off the Ball. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
All right. Delighted to say Lee Phelps and the lads are here for this week's episode. Lee, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Suffering a little bit post-Cheltenham COVID or something, but, you know, Cowboys don't cry, do they? So I enjoyed my week. I'm just struggling this week.
It's a man flu. You can tell the truth. Quietly in the break there, Shane was like, oh, I had a great Cheltenham. I'm like, he's literally the only person I know who finished up.
We had a few people. There were a few people who backed bigger price each way selections, had really good weeks. We had some incredible ackers that were landed, but there just weren't many of them. Yeah, I think on the Wednesday, and like, I don't know if you've got violins under the desk for the punters there, but I think we had the best Cheltenham day we've ever had on the Wednesday. So wow. On day two, which is incredible. But yeah, one for the bookies it was in the end.
Yeah. Shane had a 50-1.
Yeah.
Which he just picked up in the paper. I was like, oh, I like the sound of that.
Apple on the Sharon E, five each way on the 50s. Nice. Yeah, yeah. And then Gaelic Warrior, of course, in the Gold Cup. Yeah. Back it. So not a bad Friday. Yeah.
Nah, decent.
I got wiped out, which meant I ended up stupidly panicking, cashing in my Aston Villa not to finish in the top four bet before they lost to Man United. I was like, oh my God. Anyway, they're back now. They won last night, and John McGinn is back, and Tielemans is back, and they're going to go on a rampage. They're going to finish third. And anyway, I won't regret that until the day I die. Where should we start this week? Our live game on Sunday is actually one of the most interesting games of the season.
Yeah, Spurs Forest 2:15. I mean, this is sort of game, I suppose, Lee, that could go very south very quickly for either team. But Spurs at home doesn't necessarily mean it's an advantage for them recently.
No, definitely not. I mean, I was looking at some of the stats around their season and the run that they're on. Longest winless stretch in league football since 1935. Haven't beat Burnley or West Ham, who are right down there. Won one Premier League game since the end of August. Drawn four, lost nine. Collected the fewest points of any top flight side this term. 10 points. I mean, it's just, it's abject, isn't it? And there's been like a bit of a, suddenly there's, since the Liverpool draw and the win in midweek, there's a slight change, isn't there? Like, oh, maybe you're starting to turn things around. I mean, Liverpool were pretty poor. And I mean, they'd already lost that game. Atletico, we're like, they're just like, yeah, well, if you score, we'll just score one just to keep near you. They lost 7-4 in aggregate. I'm not sure you can take that as a moral victory for Igor Tudor, but we'll see. You know, I just think there's more fight in Forest, surely. Surely there's got to be more fight in them than there is in Tottenham. But, you know, they're going to have to do something soon, aren't they? Otherwise, they are, you know, if West Ham, it's a big if West Ham won at Villa and Tottenham, you know, failed to get a result at home to Forest, then serious. Yeah, it's getting really serious then. Forest are the interesting ones. They're like, we've kind of taken Burnley and Wolves out of the relegation betting now, but so you've got West Ham being favourites, then Tottenham, then Forest at 5-2. So Forest might be the value. Again, if Tottenham do win here and West Ham don't get beaten, then, you know, Forest might be the value to go down at this stage. But, you know, it's fascinating. I'm kind of, you know, because Arsenal have seemed to have almost got the title wrapped up in a weird way, I'm kind of enjoying the relegation battle more than I'm enjoying the top of the table at the moment.
Yeah, it feels that way. So how is this game priced up? What does the money think? Go on.
Tottenham are favourites, 5-4 favourites, which I've got no idea why. You know, I do work with the traders, but, you know, I just don't see anything about them that makes me think that they should be the favourites and that short a price. I couldn't back them in anyone's money at 5-4 at home. 9-4 the draw, and Forest just a touch over 2-1 at 21-10. So hard to cut. I mean, I'm going to go for a score draw double on these 2-2-15 games, Villa West Ham and Tottenham Forest. I think that comes out at 18-1 for both games to end in a score draw, basically.
There's actually been, was there one Sunday last week where it was four score draws?
Yeah.
Definitely recently, there was like one day it was like, oh, that's a draw.
Yeah.
There was another one, it was all 2-1 home wins.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I think there was a few weeks ago.
That was a bad day for us. That was a really bad day for us.
Yeah. I know. I think it was last Sunday, there was like a couple of draws. And then, yeah, the previous Sunday before that, there was like a load of home 2-1 wins.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of this weird coincidence. But I don't know. I think it'd be interesting just to see who scores first in either game, in Aston Villa, West Ham, or in the Spurs Forest game. And does that put pressure on in the other stadium?
Yeah, like, are we at that phase now?
Are we at that phase?
We probably are.
Transistors in the crowd.
it's crazy. But like, you can get the small violin out again. But like, in fairness to Forrest, they've been missing, he's back soon, Chris Wood, who's obviously been their focal point for a long time. And then Spurs, the fact that they had two goalkeepers on the bench last couple of games, would just pinpoint there. And I didn't recognise half of the three or four of their substitutions were just non-entities, young lads who've never really played senior football. So look, they're very unlucky, both of these sides this season, but I mean, you got to stay in the division somehow. And I think it could be a tense sort of a draw this game. But if Forest score early, Spurs are the ones more likely to capitulate, I feel.
I know everyone that's kind of gone, or all the teams that have gone to Spurs' home ground this season have kind of done well. But interestingly, Vitor Pereira was the coach of Wolves when Wolves were like awful and couldn't even get a point, or, you know, couldn't really do anything. But they actually went earlier in the season to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and got a point then when they were like really, really terrible. So maybe Pereira knows how to get a result against a Spurs team, especially away from home. And you're kind of waiting for this kick that hasn't really come with Vitor Pereira and Forrest. Like, they still have so much talent. Like, they have maybe two of the best midfielders in the Premier League, in Morgan Gibbs-White and in Elliot Anderson. So it's kind of strange that they're down there. But yeah, like, the goal scoring hasn't been good. Iker Jesus has been kind of hit and miss. But I just think that Vitor Pereira could do a job on Spurs on Sunday. And like, okay, that's no great feat, obviously, where they are now. But
do a job as in win the game.
Win the game, yeah. Okay. Win the game.
It wouldn't be a huge surprise, would it? I mean, I think one of the interesting elements to this relegation battle is the goal difference. You know, West Ham on minus 19, Forest on minus 15, and Tottenham on minus 7. Leeds, incidentally, minus 11. Now, so Tottenham have obviously, it's like a point, obviously, isn't it, that to anyone who's got a better goal difference. I mean, what do they concede? 9 goals in 3 games in Igor Tudor's first 3 league games. So he's doing his best to undo that good work as well. But, you know, so that they have to be careful of that, I think. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why the prices are the way they are. But, I think Tottenham need to keep it tight. If they aren't going to be winning games, they can't be getting beaten 2s and 3s.
Vitor Pereira didn't look that happy when the penalty shootout was won against Midtjylland. I know that, like, there's two complicated games against Porto that are to come, and right in the middle of a relegation battle in the Premier League. Villa, I think, is different, because even if Villa drop out of the top five, they don't want to, but they're probably the only English team left that can really target a trophy there in the Europa League. You cannot put all your eggs in that basket and hope to get Champions League football through the Europa League, but maybe that's going to be the way Unai Emery does it.
Maybe. I do think that the performance was way better than what we've seen from Villa just recently. And I think the first hour against United, when McGinn played, they were actually all right. When he went off, things fell apart. So this game against West Ham is actually low-key incredibly important in terms of them finishing in the top four or top five, which will have a knock-on impact on what happens with Arne Slot and potentially at Chelsea, whether or not. It's very difficult to survive if you don't qualify for the Champions League when you were in the Champions League and you got absolutely annihilated, and there's just noise around him. So,
and Ollie Watkins is absolutely brutal at the minute. I almost felt sorry for him at Old Trafford last weekend. He was just couldn't get involved whatsoever. Every touch he had was negative. But look, maybe he'll come good. I know he scored in European football recently, but he stands out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, and he didn't start last night, so yeah. I think that might be the end of him starting for the foreseeable as well. Aston Villa favourites at home to beat West Ham.
Justifiable. I mean, not as short as you might imagine they could be, given it's Aston Villa versus West Ham. Even money, which, like, there's a few of these teams this weekend. There's Manchester United are odds against to win at Bournemouth, and they're away from home. Liverpool odds against to win at Brighton. Chelsea odds against to win at Everton. And Aston Villa, even money to win at home to West Ham. Like, I know West Ham have improved, but they still haven't overtaken anyone. They're still in the bottom three. West Ham aren't big enough a price for me just on the 90 minutes to take on. 5-2 isn't big enough at Villa. I mean, I guess team news is everything here, isn't it? Because if Tielemans is playing and McGinn's playing, then that changes things. equally, if Crescencio Somerville plays for West Ham, that changes things as well. Intriguing game. I read a stat where Unai Emery has never lost four successive league games in his managerial career. They've lost three on the bounce at the minute, so he could well do without losing to West Ham. Or there's some history created in Emery's career there. But yeah, look, you on the face of it, you have to go with Villa, don't you? I mean, they would be going in a lot of Akkas. You know, anyone who's looking at an Akka boost on Sunday, they'll be looking to stick Villa in there without really thinking about it, I guess. But I'm not so sure, I must admit. Like, that's why I've gone for the draw. I think, you know, I know they seem to have an easy night of it in Europe, but it's still exertion, isn't it? And it's still, they're not quite at it, Aston Villa. So, yeah, maybe West Ham can just hold them to a 1-1. They don't score that many goals in the league either, have they?
No. Villa?
You guys have just been saying. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. If you do Man United away, Liverpool away, and Chelsea away with the draw, it comes out at 32-1.
Tempting.
Will Man United win away? Sorry, were you about to say something about
Villa? No, just interesting. Villa are unbeaten in the last six games against West Ham. Three wins, three draws. But they're looking for their first double over West Ham since the 2010-11 season. And that was the last time West Ham were relegated from the Premier League.
Ah, so there you go. A little bit of history repeating.
Yeah.
Will Manchester United, are they in a scenario now where they can go this evening and win against Andone Iraola, who you couldn't get out earlier on?
Like, it's the type of game. Look, I was at the 4-4 game between these two at Old Trafford before Christmas, and I don't think it's going to be like that tonight. Michael Carrick's obviously tightened up the ship a little bit, but Bournemouth in really good form, that 10-game unbeaten run. And yet, it's just hard to see United drop points. Like, even when they're playing poorly, they're picking up points, Newcastle game notwithstanding. They just look so hard to break down. And I don't know, performances all across the pitch have been really, really good. There's cause for optimism with Mason Mount back on the bench as well. They're getting a few more options in there. Acuna was, like, Bruno Fernandes is just, he's running the show at the minute for them. He's at his peak, I think. The Zenith Bruno right now is the one we're seeing in front of us. And yeah, I think this is the type of game that Carrick, you know, United can get over the line, maybe 1-0, 2-0 sort of thing. Bournemouth will fancy themselves scoring at home. But I just think at the moment they look irrepressible. And the fact that they have, what, 3 weeks gap, maybe 2.5, 3 weeks gap between this and their next game.
Yeah, don't play till mid-April.
Mid-April, which is a long, long gap for these players. So
yeah,
I think United will fancy this one.
I don't know, I wouldn't be as confident of that. I think United's performance has kind of regressed after the initial kind of impact under Carrick. And then last week they showed up again against Villa. At times in the game, there was times in the game where they really struggled, especially after going 1-0 up. Tonight against Bournemouth, in like a fixture that United don't generally have sometimes a great record down there on the South Coast. It's a Friday night football as well. It can be a bit of a weird one for fans and players. But like Bournemouth's form, they've had four wins and six draws in that run. So they've steadied the ship under kind of Iraola, especially after the beginning of the season where they had really patchy form. But I don't know, I still don't really trust this United side at the minute to kind of keep going on this run. So I'd be a little bit worried for Carrick and United players this evening.
Not that it's really motivation. Go on ahead, Lee, sorry.
No. I was just going to say, it's interesting. It seemed when that great start to his managerial career at Manchester United, it seemed to be built on, you know, sitting back and allowing teams to come on. When they have to make the game, they seem to struggle, don't they? When they have to, but you just wonder if Bournemouth have a go at Man United, if they can kind of adopt that same mentality and strategy of just kind of sitting in a bit and then using the quality they've got up front to hit Bournemouth on the break. I don't expect to see eight goals again, but I could see it being an entertaining game. Like you guys said, neither of these teams have got anything to lose here, have they? You know, it's like, you know, they're both in great positions. Big break coming up, spring break for Man United, isn't it, basically? There's an epic boost on it, by the way. It's Man United to score in the first half, even money from odds on. Two of those eight in the reverse fixture came in the first half for United. I expect goals. I think I'd go Bournemouth on the prices, because why would you go against them? They're a really good side with really good attacking players. But high on the goals. Maybe both teams to score and over 2.5, maybe, if you're looking at a bet builder. And I like Cunha as well. I mean, I like any of them. Like you guys said, Bruno's sensational. I was looking at the most assists in the season betting. I think he's 1,000-1 on to win that now. Right. Something daft. So him, Cunha and Bumo, obviously. There are a lot of goals in this Manchester United team. So if you're a Man United fan, you're looking for a way in, maybe a bet builder, then I'd be looking at shots on target and goals and assists for them.
It's not very often that you're going to get United, Liverpool and Chelsea all being odds against. Why aren't Liverpool more heavy favourites against Brighton? I know their form is bad at the moment, but surely there was stuff midweek where there were some green shoots?
It was against Galatasaray. I mean, you know, even Mo Salah looked good against them, didn't he? So, you know, maybe that's the level. Maybe that's Mo Salah's a Turkish top flight, you know, level player. I do think Europe isn't quite as... Well, some European teams aren't anywhere near the level. Others obviously clearly are. And the Premier League as a whole was caught out in this last round, wasn't it? It was made to see, I think there was a false confidence about how well the Premier League teams had done. But Brighton have been in good form recently. I think they've been in really good nick. And I think from a trading point of view, I think you can afford to tempt customers and punters in by giving these prices, knowing full well that they won't all land, or probably won't all land. I mean, you wouldn't be that confident in Chelsea at Everton. I'm not looking at Liverpool and thinking, oh yeah, they'll win at Brighton, even though they've got a good record there, even though, you know, Szoboszlai's in great form. And you know, if Salah is back, then obviously that changes things, because him linking up with Ekitike obviously would be fantastic. And there was some great football the other night. But we've seen this from Liverpool, that, you know, they were brilliant against Real Madrid earlier in the season. Then they think they came back into the Premier League and were really good against Aston Villa when they were playing well. And then it all just bottomed out again, didn't it? There's one bet in this game that I do like. I mean, Brighton, surprisingly, are right at the top of the yellow cards this season. They're as bad as Tottenham are in terms of yellow cards. And Diego Gomez has been booked twice against Liverpool this season already. He's picked up two bookings in his last two games. And like I say, they're liable to pick up cards. He's over 2-1, 23-10 to be carded. So if you're looking for a bet builder, I'd be chucking that one in there. Diego Gomez to pick up a yellow in there. But yeah, I can't trust. I'm not looking at the 6-5 about Liverpool and rubbing my hands together.
Similarly, are Everton actually a good price at home to beat this Chelsea side, who may be careering off track at the moment before our very eyes?
Well, the 23-10. I mean, I was a bit worried about the fact that I heard an interview with Moyes the other day, and they were asking him about the home stadium, and he was kind of saying like, "Yeah, we do need time to make it our own." I guess when you move into a new stadium, you need those moments that create memories, don't you? And they haven't really had any of those particularly yet. You know, you need a huge win over Liverpool to like make it feel like it's that there is something that you can latch onto as a fan. I just think it's maybe not quite there. The home form has been poor. Chelsea have won 6 of the last 10 away, lost to PSG, lost to Arsenal, and they drew at Wrexham, of course, in the FA Cup with a bit of a changed team. So Chelsea have been decent away from home. Again, no, 11. I'm not mad keen on any of these three prices, if I'm being honest. So, yeah, maybe again, it's like I've looked at a lot of bet builders this week, just like leaving the outrights alone, trying to look at where I can find a bit of value in the players. Illiman and Jai, by the way, for to have a over one shot on target is just under 4-1. He's like one of the, you know, obviously one of the stars of the Everton team, especially with Grealish not in the starting lineup with his injury. So, yeah, I'm probably looking at a fairly tight game, but you know, with the players like Ndiaye getting shots on target. Yeah, look, what'll happen is, you know, Man United, Liverpool and Chelsea will all win easily, won't they? And I've been made to look an idiot.
Well, I don't know. It is that Chelsea being slightly better away from home maybe makes a bit of sense with what's happening and the pressure that they feel from the fans and the uncertainty around, is this actually the future? Is this manager as good as we've been led to believe by the hierarchy? Or, you know...
I just wonder, does Lee have the odds for Chelsea to form another huddle around the referee and respect the ball? If we see it again,
I know that was crazy, wasn't it? I was looking at it last week thinking it did make a nice change for the ref to be in a huddle rather than a VAR muddle.
Yeah. Please not again.
We haven't talked about the Carabao Cup final. What do you think is going to happen here?
For Manchester City, and
yeah,
are they going to go and put a statement performance and then go in and change their form around to go on a run to towards the end of the season? I don't know. Like, this
City, it's relevant, isn't it, to the league? Like,
in this game itself, right?
But just, psychologically, though, I think it'll have some sort of impact. Like, I think Arsenal, like, the last team they probably wanted to face this weekend of all weekends was definitely Man City. Now, they were boosted last week by kind of having that, they have the 9 points gap, but still, I don't think they want to see the City team at all. And the only thing is, though, like, City, look, like, this is the end of the Guardiola era, maybe, and maybe this is the end of the Guardiola, yeah, when, this is the end of a team, and maybe the formation of a new team with Gehi and Semenyo, and obviously Haaland is going to be there. So, I don't know, like, we've had question marks over City all year, and I can't see them showing up on Sunday either, because, yeah, I think Arsenal are just going to have too much for them, either in set pieces or either from open play as well. I think they'll just suffocate them, and I don't think there'll be any Guardiola master plan, unfortunately.
No, he's more likely to overthink it.
Mm. Yeah, I almost feel like Arsenal will be bouncing into this one after what happened in the league last weekend with City dropping points against West Ham. Like, Arteta's very much a vibes manager. Obviously, the team are flying at the moment and want to continue that, but I don't know, I almost feel like, I don't know, Lee, if you had the odds of extra time or this game going 120 minutes or all the way, but it has that sort of feel that in a final, particularly with the trophy on the line, these two teams will want to, not shadow box, but not lose the game rather than go and win the game. I see this being a tight one, and maybe that takes us all the way to penalties, potentially.
Yeah, and you do see, like, I was looking at past finals, I think on the last 10, there's only been four that have featured over 2.5, got three or more goals in them. City beat Villa 2-1, they beat Arsenal 3-0, of course, back in 2018. I think Man United beat Southampton 3-2, and last season was a 2-1 win for Newcastle. So it's traditionally is quite a low scoring final. But yeah, you can have the odds on the match to go to penalties, for instance. That's yes is 4-1 there. Then you can have Arsenal or Man City to win on penalties or in extra time. So all the odds there available. All the main markets, just as a reminder, are based on 90-minute betting. So then you've got a winner of the title to lift the trophy. Arsenal are 8-11. The 13-10 to win in 90 minutes, but 8-11 to win to lift the trophy effectively. Man City, even money. Yeah, it's fascinating one. It's interesting you say it doesn't have a bearing on the Premier League. I remember, do you remember like when Klopp's last season, when Liverpool were in this exact position, I think, where they were going for the quadruple, people talking about it. And they were playing great and they won the League Cup, and then it all just seemed to kind of fall away a little bit after that. And I remember looking back a few years ago at what teams did once they won the League Cup, because it's such a weird time of the season to be celebrating. And there has been generally a drop-off from various teams. So it would, if Arsenal do win it, be interesting to see how he gets them to go again after winning that first trophy, because you'd presume there'd be big celebrations and it'd be a massive relief to get that first trophy for a while. City, of course, have won this 8 times. I think only Liverpool have won it more. So it is their trophy in a sense. So I'm really looking forward to it. I hope it's an open one. I'm not really expecting it to be that open. I think Eberechi Eze can have a big influence. Obviously, he scored against City in the FA Cup final last season. He's been in really good form, hasn't he, recently? I think he's been involved in 6 goals in his last 9, 4 of them scoring 2 assists. I think, you know, he'd be the one I'd be looking at. If you're looking at goal scorers, maybe he can, you know, make the difference in this one. But yeah, it's going to be fascinating. 13-10 Arsenal. Not often you'll get them odds against like that to win in 90 minutes, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a standout for me. I think it's a straightforward Arsenal win, but maybe I'm missing something. Anything else from you, Lee, before we let you go?
A final one standing continues, of course. We've got a new game kicking off on 3 p.m. Saturday. We've got one game from game week 20. So 2 players left. Each could obviously win the 20k themselves, or they could share it and get 10k each. The teams they've gone for are Fulham. One of them's gone for Fulham to win their match, which I'm not sure. I mean, it's at home to Burnley, by the way, so they should win it, but I'm not massively confident in Fulham. And the other one, this is brave, I've gone for Newcastle in the derby. Ooh. Noon on Sunday. Newcastle to beat Sunderland in that one. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that. I guess, look, if they both fail to win, they both take 10 grand home, so no qualms there. But yeah, we'll be keeping a close eye on that one. Acca Boost available as usual. We've got the Bet Builders on the League Cup final. It's a 50% winnings boost this weekend, so if you manage to get a Bet Builder in on that one, you get to make sure you tick the one to get you 50% extra on your winnings on that. But yeah, really looking forward to it. Should be a cracking week with loads of epic boosts as well.
A hot whiskey is the only cure for man flu, Lee, we all know that.
I'll go and get one now.
Enjoy.
What is it, 12:30?
Yeah. Best of luck. Cheers.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers, Lee.
See you.
Yeah.
Am I mad that it's just a straightforward routine victory for this Arsenal team?
They've kind of made it look like that from over this last couple of months.
In this game, I mean. I think the league is toast, and that's why it feels like the opposite side of that is that, to the point there about the psychologists, like, well, we don't really care about this game, you know. That should give them a sense of freedom.
You think the league is over?
Yeah, I think
even with City have the game in hand and the game against Arsenal.
I think City,
there's no evidence that City will do anything though.
Yeah,
they were abject again during the week, and it just feels like it's the end of this City team. And like is this a point where Arsenal are going to be like, right, this is where we, you know, show our dominance, and this is where we kind of we win this trophy, we win the Premier League, and then we're going to go and have a Guardiola-esque era, you know, for Arsenal over the next couple of years. Like, this is like your chance to put down a marker and be like, no, we are the big dogs, we're the team to catch. And I don't know if Arsenal think like that though. That's the thing, they worry themselves over the line nearly. That's the impression I get from even last week. That game was so nervous, and I was actually chatting to a few people who've been at Arsenal games recently, and the atmosphere within the stadium is like really worrisome. Really worrisome.
Yeah.
Now, and I get it, but
by all accounts in the European game it was different.
Yeah, but I think because they don't have, like, they're not expected to win the European Cup or the Champions League. They are expected to win this Premier League, and they've been expected to win it for a while, but like, you've kind of led the whole season, you can't blow it now. So
what?
I think
how did this feed into this game?
Yeah, into this game, I think it's a chance to be like, yeah, we are the team to beat, and we are going. Like, are they going to go and play at 100 miles an hour and going to get right out of the blocks and play really good football? No, but like, they're going to just strangle the life out of this Man City team.
Haaland needs to fire. Semenyo needs to fire. I thought like Semenyo signing was going to be the kickstart to push City over the line and maybe win the Premier League title. But
it kind of was for a while. But it's just no one else around them. Like, Haaland has dropped off a lot.
Yeah.
Jeremy Doku has dropped off a lot. Ryan Cherky's dropped off a lot. Rodri doesn't seem to have the, like, he's had obviously the bad knee injury, and he's kind of, yeah, he looks like that his best days are behind him. Bernardo Silva is playing like every single game, playing in multiple positions, and
even Donnarumma making mistakes that you don't see too often. You know, mistakes.
But I don't know about the Donnarumma signing. Even I know he made some incredible saves, but he's like 6'6" or whatever. Like, of course he's going to be able to do that. Like, but he does make silly errors, and I don't trust him from corners. I don't trust him from wide free kicks, wide crosses. Like, I don't know. Like, and City, like, City should have no excuses. They've spent loads and loads of money. Like, I think our City coming to the point where we're looking at Guardiola, we need to move on to the next era. Like, is this like a Wenger style kind of?
It's done now, and he's leaving, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas Wenger stayed while they were rebuilding the stadium and made the club all the money that allowed them to get to the new stadium, and point blank refused to sign a goalkeeper and a centre back when everybody knew they needed a goalkeeper and a centre back.
I think it's going to go all the way to penalties. 16-year-old Max Diamond winning penalty, Panenka down on the Wembley pitch down the middle. I mean,
and we've seen some fairly poor penalties over the last couple of weeks. Mo Salah taking a fairly terrible penalty during the week as well. I don't know. I think, like, do Arsenal win a quadruple?
Not a chance.
That's too much.
Two at most. They might win the league and the League Cup this weekend. I can't see. Surely not all four. Surely not even three. Like, it's so tough to compete on three fronts.
But they're on the end of the, they're at the side of the Champions League where, like, you want to be.
Yeah, yeah. I think they'd bite your hand off, obviously, for nothing except the league at this point.
Yeah.
But then you start getting greedy. So when they win this, do you think it has any impact on whether or not they win the league?
Yeah, well, just what Lee was saying there, like, the teams have dropped off after winning Carabao Cups. Like, I remember
Chelsea tended not to. Chelsea under Mourinho tended not to, and also City under Guardiola have tended not to.
Yeah, and United under Ferguson as well. They kind of used this period where this was the kickstart to kind of go on the run for the end of the season. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see this Arsenal team becoming tired and a bit. Yeah, I think they win this cup and it drives them on. They maybe go 12 points clear. They maybe get a draw in the Etihad when it comes to it. And they comfortably get over the line towards the end of the season, and the kind of the pressure and the nerves kind of slowly dissipates.
And I think winning this cup this weekend is actually going to help with that. So that's my prediction for the weekend. Anything else?
Yeah, Leeds-Brentford, huge game as well. Obviously, Keith Andrews will be looking to bounce back from that disappointment against Wolves.
Brentford a bit of a slide.
Yeah.
Leeds under the lights Saturday night.
That's nasty. 8 p.m. kickoff on Saturday evening at Elland Road. Yeah. Not easy. Brentford, like, what are they, 3 points now behind Chelsea? Only 2 points ahead of Everton behind them in eighth. So they need to start picking up some points. But look, they're fine, but they would like to get another few wins.
The Tyne-Wear derby as well, I have to mention as well, like, that always generally is an entertaining game, even if the football isn't particularly brilliant. I just have memories of Sunderland going to St James's Park and winning games when they're really, really bad. I don't know what
that list of all those Irish players who were starters in both those for both those teams since the year 2000 is it just tripped off your tongue.
I had loads there, but
probably quiz insights there.
Didn't have the chance to name them, but I think Sunderland have also regressed over this past couple of weeks as well, and they're kind of maybe finding their level. But I think for them this year, if they could finish above Newcastle, that would be an unbelievable season for them and for their fans too. So 12 o'clock Sunday, Newcastle and Sunderland is a really good game.
And recap finally, our live game.
We have Spurs Forest, Stephen Doyle, Brian Kerr, 2:15 p.m. kickoff on Sunday afternoon. John Duggan in the hot seat from 1 on Off the Ball Sunday on News Talk.
All right, that is this week's episode of Final One Standing. Take care.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off the Ball. Download the app and play today. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.